Baptist 21 is a pastor-led voice for Southern Baptists in the 21st century. The B21 podcast will discuss current issues in the SBC with Southern Baptist church leaders. To check out more resources, visit us at baptist21.com.
So Nate Aiken here with the Baptist 21 podcast. I have with me today Pastor Dwayne Milioni, and he's going to give a little bit of his bio. He has been a huge influence on me, was my pastor for years, and now is my pastor again, and just has a lot to talk to us about, particularly when it comes to church planting. So it's a church planting church, and he'll talk some about that, as well as training up young guys for the ministry. So Pastor Dwayne, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
Pastor Dwayne, tell us just a little bit about you, kind of your background, your bio. Just give the listeners kind of an idea of who you are.
Yeah, raised in Michigan. Parents were believers. Both have since gone to be with the Lord. Sort of came kicking and screaming into the ministry. But God was gracious, and I was planning to be a one of those rich medical doctors that gave a lot of money to the church but didn't have to be involved. And through a series of events, including eventually a wonderful wife, I committed my life to the Lord, ended up at Liberty, did my seminary training there, and became a Southern Baptist. Mm. Actually found a church that was doing expositional preaching.
So what year would this have been?
This is 1989. And just for the first time was growing in my faith, mm-hmm. learning, and began to love pastoral ministry. Wanted more training, so I jumped in the very early days of the PhD program at Southeastern Seminary. There's some stories and some myths surrounding that. God used all of that really to bring me to the Raleigh area. Beginning with teaching adjunctively at Southeastern Seminary, and then Open Door was a church that was beginning to grow, new church, and was looking for a lead pastor, and God just put us both together. So been teaching at Southeastern. I'm the assistant professor of preaching there, also coordinate the PhD in preaching, and have been blessed to be lead pastor at Open Door for 20 years.
Tell us about Open Door. Maybe just give us a brief history of how the kind of changes you made, what the church looks like now. You've been there 20 years, and so just give us kind of a brief history of what's happened since you've been there.
Yeah, Open Door was had a lot of potential, but young and needed a lot of organization. It was sort of shaping up to be what would have been a traditional Southern Baptist church back in the day. I convictionally had grown to love both Reformed doctrine and also elder government, and wanted to slowly, hopefully, rightly make some changes in the structure of the church. That was a challenge. So that took a few years. We took on a plurality of elders eventually, and then through just through growing pains, decided that we were going to radically change our direction and become a church planting church.
How many churches have you guys planted?
So when I talk about church planting, I'm talking about not just supporting a church mm-hmm. plant. I'm talking about
Raised up leadership.
Actually raised up leaders. Most of the planters would have been from my staff mm-hmm. or interns or, you know, leaders. So as of this year or last year, we will have planted 17 churches.
You probably don't have an answer to this because it's so many, but in the years, you do an intentional internship at Open Door, raising up pastors. How many guys do you think in the years have gone through that, just ballpark?
Oh, I don't know, 100?
100, yeah, maybe more than that.
Yeah, maybe more.
There's like 20 in there right now.
Yeah.
So this is a church that really got into church planting, and this would have been early 2000s when y'all began. So this was kind of before the wave of when church planting kind of became cool. Y'all were doing it pretty early on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for whatever sins I committed in the past, I had to, you know, go through the the first of leading my church to be more of an elder-led group, and that wasn't easy. It's a lot easier today. And
a lot more resources today.
Yeah. Trying to figure out church planning when it wasn't a thing. But I'm grateful for it. But yeah, I wish there were more help. I wish there were more resources.
What made y'all get into church planting?
Yeah, so a couple of things, just pragmatically, to be honest. We built a building, which is great, but I mean, it was you know, expensive, and it was a labor of love, and I just started thinking, you know, there's got to be a better way to grow than just add,
right.
And so I started contemplating multiplication. I mean, I think addition is fantastic, but multiplication would be better. And then the other thing was, having a number of seminary students coming through my church, and several of them that I really became close to, and then watching them go out to either really poor situations in churches or unhealthy churches, and them getting killed in the ministry, and some of them even then deciding, I'm not going to do this anymore. I had this growing sense of there's got to be a better way.
Right.
There's got to be a better way to send than just saying, okay, go find a church that no one else wants because you have no experience. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
So two guys on my staff decided they were going to go plant a church, and we didn't know what we were doing. One of them, I'm meeting with later on today, after many years, we did a joint effort with John Piper's church, Bethlehem Baptist. And we sent about 35 of our members downtown.
Yeah.
And then another family we just sent by themselves to Del Rio, Texas, right on the border. And it was just trial and error, Nate. I mean, we didn't really know what we were doing. We just felt like this is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's good. How does, so you've kind of mentioned this, when we're talking about church planting, we're not just saying support church plants, which you guys do that as well, but we're talking about raise up leadership in the church, send out. How does your church go about that? So if a guy's, you know, this could be any church is thinking through, I want to get involved in church planting. How do you guys do it? How would you answer that question?
Yeah, having an intentional ministry plan to do it. So you have to imagine if you're going to raise a child, you know, it's going to be a long term, a lot of equipping, a lot of care, a lot of instruction, a lot of coming alongside. And church planning is like raising up children and sending them out. So we began to develop an intentional internship plan that provides two things. One, leadership for our church, and then leadership for those we're sending.
Right.
And so we just put it together and tried to think what would a man need to be a pastor, even if he didn't have seminary training?
Right.
And what would he need to be instructed in doctrinally and pragmatically and ministry and family and marriage and all these things? What books should he read? And we just kind of put together a ministry plan that, again, has morphed over the years to become something essential, not just for our church to develop leaders, but it's really become the funnel for our sending. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's depending on your means.
Right.
You know, a church may say, we would love to plant a church every 5 years, and that would be fantastic.
Right.
I mean, that really would be. Larger churches may say, we could plant a church more than that.
Right.
But if you consider maybe a 3 to 5 year equipping plan, so you're constantly feeding potential leaders through the funnel, just keep feeding that.
Yeah.
It can be great, and it'll grow your church. It will make your church more healthy because you'll have really well equipped leaders, and then it's amazing what you can do in terms of sending.
Yeah.
And then you can utilize seminaries.
Right.
in a really important, especially nowadays, like at my seminary, we have an equipped ministry, so churches can even provide credited,
theological training through the church. Yeah.
And then the other thing is one of the big mistakes that I had realized after about 5 years of doing it is we weren't training our women, which would have been either the wives of the guys we're sending or just women, leaders. Right. And so we put together a woman's internship as well. And that, man, that has been phenomenal for us.
Yeah, so y'all really have been, and I'll talk more about the internship in a minute, but a 2 Timothy 2:2 church where you're trying to raise up men who will teach others also. And so I want to ask some detailed questions about that in a minute, but I want to stick to planting for a second. So what are some areas of the New Testament, maybe even just is there a model church that you guys kind of look at to say this is kind of a at least an example of planting in the New Testament? And then, one of the big problems, and we'll talk about pillar in a second, is that most Southern Baptist churches are not running 2,000 people. Most Southern Baptist churches are 100 to 300, and they're saying, how can I do church planting? So one, just can maybe talk through the New Testament pattern and then talk to churches that are smaller but say, hey, we do think we want to multiply. How do they go about doing it?
Yeah. Well, this may be the most important thing that I do share with you. So biblically, I've always thought the Church of Antioch was my model. There's just something about Antioch that I love. First of all, you had the elders that represented the community, diverse group of elders that were not apostles, so they had to have some sort of training. These elders were also equipping. So Barnabas was equipping and mentoring Paul, and they were sending. And they had a growing church, but they were missional.
Right.
And they began sending out teams to plant churches.
Right.
And then eventually some of those plants planted, but they were always connected.
Right.
So Antioch sort of became the hub, the mother church, if you would. And then it literally, every New Testament church outside of Jerusalem is connected to Antioch.
Right.
And if you recall in the book of Acts, they're cooperating together.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all working together. They're all independent, or they're all autonomous, but they're also working together. Mm. And I keep going back to that and saying, okay, there's a model for us. And then also, Antioch probably a bit larger, but then eventually Corinth may be the more affluent.
Right.
Ephesus may be having the most potential, but that's not to neglect the smaller churches.
Right.
But they're all involved.
Mm-hmm.
They all really are. So if maybe from Ephesus you can send church planters to Colossae, but that doesn't neglect Colossae from also being involved in the overall mission, because Paul's collecting money from everybody. And anyway, I love the beauty and the simplicity of the cooperation there, and also just what can one church do?
Yeah,
I mean, Antioch, changed the world. So, I mean, I don't know if I could say my church is Antioch, but I would desire to be that.
Now would be a good time to tell you about our sponsor for the Baptist 21 podcast, the Pillar Network. If you're a pastor interested in leading your church to partner with a community of like-minded SBC churches that are doctrinally aligned, missionally driven, and committed to fulfilling the Great Commission by equipping the next generation of pastors to both plant and revitalize churches, then consider joining the Pillar Network. You can find out more information at thepillarnetwork.com. That's thepillarnetwork.com. So you hit on this, and again, we'll go back to kind of that question of, if I'm smaller, how do I do this? But in light of that, there was great cooperation in the New Testament, which is one of our Baptist principles.
Yes.
And sometimes we've gotten away from that. We've basically said, okay, we're going to let certain entities do certain things. But the whole point of those entities even starting was, we're going to try to help churches continue to cooperate to do kingdom work. In that light, you started, helped start a network called Pillar. So talk to us about Pillar. It's not a church planting network in the sense of it's just a network of church plants. Instead, it's a network of churches that are trying to plant churches and revitalize churches. Why did you start that? Was cooperation a big part of that?
Yeah. Yeah, a desire for it. Yeah. So I started planting churches on my own and realized that I was doing something really that I loved and that I felt that was important, not just for our church, but for our denomination. And so I just did what a lot of guys do. They go to their closest friends in the ministry, and I said, hey, can we plant churches together? And so I went to my best friend in the ministry, and I said, let's plant a church together. He said, great. I don't know how to do that. I said, well, I've got guys I'm training, but I'm lacking resources. He says, I've got resources. I don't have guys, you know. Right. So, okay.
Let's do this together.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about a learning curve. But once we did that, we felt like we were even more onto something. Right. And then we found another connection. And just organically, we started making these connections. And we said, man, we really can do a lot more. But so the beauty of it, I think what you're getting to is that not any one church could, you know, do that on their own, because we're not mega churches.
Right.
But in combination, we have all the resources that we need to plant a lot of churches.
Right.
And it just sort of organically became a network. We honestly never intended to formalize ourselves, but so much money was coming through my church that, yeah, legally we fell. So we became a nonprofit, and we went through all of that and developed a board. But we really are just sort of an organic group of like-minded Southern Baptist churches that love the fellowship that we have together, but we exist to cooperate to... Well, initially we just plant churches, but now we're revitalizing and replanting churches.
Yeah, and maybe we'll do another podcast another day and just talk about revitalization, because there's certainly need to plant churches, but there is a massive need, yeah, with so many dying churches. And so we can hopefully hit on that another time. Well, let's kind of switch gears to the intentional internships. Maybe just give a little bit more detail about what that actually looks like in your church, and then counsel you would have for churches that are saying, yeah, you know, I actually do want to have a 2 Timothy 2:2 ministry. How do I even start that?
Yeah. Yeah, great question. Start. So I typically advise churches, pastors, to find a handful of guys that they want to pour into. Yeah. And guys that could be deacons, guys that could be elders, guys that might be church planners, missionaries, whatever. And, you know, you see them. I mean, we all have, whether your church is 50 people or 500, we all have those guys that we see potential in. Yeah. And
even if it's just one guy.
If
you're a small country church, one guy you're going to pour into, yeah.
And you just start meeting with that guy, and you say, okay, for the next several years— let's get together. Yeah. Let me equip you to be a leader in the church, and let's seek the Lord about what that may look like. So, you know, yeah, time, organization, it demands all of that. But you talk about a joy. I mean, for pastors, I've been doing this for a while now. It's so easy for us to get totally consumed with the unhealth of our church.
Right.
The unhealth almost dictates our schedule. So if you are intentional about working with the healthy, mm-hmm, equipping them, strengthening them, I mean, in the end, your church is so much better off. And so it is something you have to be intentional about. But I think any pastor who'll do this, or group of pastors that'll do this, they will feel affirmed in their calling.
Yeah.
It really is a joy. And we don't, again, I'm a seminary professor, so I'm pro-seminary, but we can't relegate all of the equipping,
right,
to colleges and seminaries. I mean, we have to say chiefly it's our responsibility to do that.
Yeah, so I had the benefit of going through that 2-year internship and then planting a church that then started its own. And so the joy of it certainly was the elders that you're going to raise up in your own church, they're going to have your DNA. And but you get challenged as a pastor to continue to go back to the scriptures and to learn, okay, what am I actually supposed to be doing? It sharpens you. It doesn't just sharpen them. It sharpens you, which is a real joy. What is kind of content-wise, what do y'all focus on in your internship? So, I mean, certainly there's going to be ministry practical aspects to it, but what are some of the things you kind of take guys through?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, you remember I made you memorize the entire pastoral epistles, and we quoted them. And then I taught through, we did exposition in the, so yeah, of all the books and all the topics, most of the guys will say to me, it was the study in the pastorals that was the most important thing. Right. So I would highly encourage it to be chiefly exposition geared towards equipping. But then, yeah, we look at pastoral ministry and what does leadership in the church look like, and talk all the way through missions. And yeah. I mean, it's a lot of real pragmatic stuff.
Right.
It's also gives us an opportunity to think through some of the challenging issues of ministry, like divorce, remarriage, use of alcohol. I mean, all of these really interesting, you know, pastoral issues that, again, maybe you don't work through well in the more academic settings. Yeah, but, you know, reading good books, making the guys give reports, and it's Spurgeon's, you know,
Pastor's College.
Yeah. It's Calvin's Geneva School.
Yeah.
It's what our heroes of the faith just did organically that we should be doing.
Right, and you can do it with 15 guys or you can do it with one.
Yes.
And so I'll maybe ask you two more questions, but one would just be, somebody might be hearing this and they say, you're near a seminary, so of course you can do leadership development and you can do church planting. What would be your, because we do have guys in our network who are doing this who are not near seminaries.
Yes.
What would your counsel be to that guy who's saying, how do I kind of feel overwhelmed, I don't have just a bunch of dudes coming to my church that want to be pastors. What would your counsel be to those guys?
Yeah, again, I would say find the guys that are there.
Right.
And find the guys that are there and just begin with them. And you'll be surprised how many, you know, end up feeling like they do have a call. And God's just using you, you know, for that. Also, if there is another, you know, church in the area that's like-minded, go together, work together.
Yeah, right.
Say, let's do this together. And then you can form your little equipping center or school, you know, together. But then, If you do organize yourself well and start to do this, then come ask us.
Right.
Because we do have seminary students looking for intentional internships. They want further equipping, and you know, the churches surrounding seminaries like mine can't handle all of them. So it might be an opportunity where we can, you know, connect you.
Yeah, that's good. This may be too broad a statement. Certainly don't know all the churches, but I do feel like when I was growing up in certain Southern Baptist churches that weren't initially near seminaries, there was a lot of talk about, hey, we want to raise up those guys that are going to be the preacher boys, or however they worded it. And so sometimes I wonder if we're not even casting in non-seminary towns, are we even casting the vision enough anymore to say, hey, you should think about whether the Lord will use you to be a pastor.
So one of the things that's alarming, I started teaching in the late 90s, and now it's 2019. And so here would be an example. So last semester in my basic Bible exposition class, I had 30 students there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in the late 90s, if I were to ask the 30 students, how many of you guys want to be preachers, 90% of them would have raised their hand. So I just sort of naturally do that every semester. So this past semester, it was less than 10%, which tells us something is happening where there's less interest in preaching, in being, you know, lead pastors and taking on that role. So maybe we're not, you know, maybe we're not encouraging guys enough to say, hey, have you sought the Lord about, you know, leading churches?
Yeah. We'll add that to the conversation for the next time you're on the podcast to think through why is that the case, because I think you've got some thoughts on that that are helpful. You've been at Open Door now, this will be your 20th year. Most of the guys probably listening to this podcast are younger pastors, younger leaders. What would be just some lessons as we kind of head out from this podcast?
Yeah.
That you would give in being 20 years at a church.
Yeah. Well, let me just say again, thanks for Baptist 21. I really do think it's an important voice, and really grateful that Pill Network can help sponsor and have a close relationship with what you guys are doing. Keep it up. But so it was Christmas Eve service.
Mm-hmm.
And in, you know, so families are gathered and they're coming to the Christmas Eve, you know, thing that we do. And I'm just reflecting this year because I'm watching families now that I've been at my church for a generation, and kids that had grown up in church, and so I'm watching families come in, and I'm seeing families come in with kids who've left the faith, but you know, they're coming because it's Christmas.
Right.
Seeing some that have decided to choose a homosexual lifestyle.
Mm.
I saw single parents come in. When they came to my church, they were married and they've been divorced. And And then I saw healthy families come in, and all, by God's grace, everyone's a believer. You know, and it was just really, I hadn't expected it, but it took me back. It was a sobering reflection of 20 years of ministry, and you just don't know. And you're just reminded that ministry is messy and ministry is challenging, but the call is to be faithful. Yep. And it was really sobering for me, and I was just reminded that, man, you know what, ultimately, Lord, is your church, and I'm grateful for the blessings, I'm grateful for the joys and the salvations and the growth and the maturity, and I remain heartbroken. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm heartbroken for many of the failures and this and that and the other, but here I am 20 years later, and just be faithful.
If somebody's listening to this and they have questions and about, you know, intentional internship or church planning, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, first go to our website, Pillar Network, and it may end up having a conversation with you or Zach Nelson. But even then, if you go on our website and you find a Pillar church in your neighborhood, which now we're getting near 100 churches, so there's probably going to be a church close by, literally call them. I mean, if you just want to talk to someone local, you can contact anybody in the network. They would love to have that conversation with you.
So again, we do church planting. We do church revitalization. If you've been listening and you think, I just want to get more information, contact me, nate@thepillarnetwork.com. Would be very, very thankful to have that conversation. Also, we've mentioned on this podcast the EQUIP program at Southeastern. So if you're a pastor and you say, I would love to do seminary level credit training in the life of my local church, please, I can get you contacted with the right guy at Southeastern. I went through that program and used to work with that office, and I just would highly recommend and commend that ministry to you. Pastor, again, just thanks for your time. Thanks for your faithful ministry. You've been, Baptist 21 would not be what it is without the influence you've had, particularly on me and some other brothers in that network. So we're very, very thankful, and thanks for taking time to be on
here. All right. Happy birthday. Good to be here.
I appreciate it. Baptist 21 Podcast.